Good morning, esteemed guests. My name is Joanna, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to take the opportunity to welcome everyone to the Green Organic Dutchman Third Quarter Analyst and Investor Earnings Call. To ensure an enjoyable experience for all participants, all lines have been placed on mute. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer period. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star, then the number 2. Thank you. I would now like to invite Mr. Brian Athaide, CEO, and Mr. Sean Bovingdon, CFO, to begin the call. Thanks, Brian. Sean, I will now turn the call over to Shane Dungy. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Joanna. Good morning, and thank you all for joining us for our Q3 conference call. Today, we'll provide comments on our performance as well as an update on our overall operational readiness and how we're executing our plans. This call is being recorded, and the audio recording will be available on the company website at tgod.ca. Joining me on the call this morning are Brian Athaide, Chief Executive Officer, and Sean Bovingdon, Chief Financial Officer. Today's discussion includes forward-looking statements. We caution that such statements are based on management's assumptions and beliefs and are subject to uncertainties and other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially. I refer you to your news release, MD&A, for more information on these assumptions and factors. With that, I will now turn the call over to Brian Athaide.
Thanks, Shane, and good morning, everyone. I'll begin the call with a discussion of some of the macro industry-wide factors affecting the cannabis sector, the actions we have taken to position TGOD for success despite these headwinds, and the performance of our two main markets, Europe and Canada. I'll then ask Sean to walk us through detailed financials, as well as provide an update on our financing activities, and we'll finish with our Cannabis 2.0 product portfolio. As you've seen in our press release, and obviously our Q3 results reflect the fact that TGOD is still largely pre-revenue. I believe this is not a bad position to be in at this point, as it has allowed us to right-size our business without incurring large write-downs. We are not immune to the macro challenges the industry is facing, but TGOD is well positioned to weather the storm and will emerge stronger. I will outline our strategic plan in a moment. Demand remains high for cannabis in Canada. While it may be a new category for the legal market, unlike other nascent industries, it's an existing $8 to $10 billion a year opportunity in Canada alone. The challenge for licensed producers has been a much slower conversion rate from the illicit market to the legal market due to a lack of retail accessibility. If you look at Ontario, Canada's largest province, there are only 24 stores open today. Based on its population, the province should have well over 1,000 in order to meet demand, very similar to alcohol distribution. Regulators are well aware of this, and I'm confident that the situation will be addressed in the next couple quarters, which is timed well as our production scales. Governments are leaving potential revenue on the table while the illicit market is thriving. Consumers purchasing cannabis products on the illicit market also expose themselves to the risk of consuming potentially dangerous substances due to absence of controls, a growing concern which should help convert existing users into the legal market. This lower conversion, combined with the ambitious business plans of several licensed producers, has created an excess of cannabis on the market, pressuring margins as unsold inventories pile up. Some are calling it oversupply. In my view, what we are seeing is oversold inventory piling up. This seems to be more in the mid-range cannabis with average quality, which cannot compete with lower-priced illicit market cannabis. Our pilot with the OCS has proven that consumers and bud tenders appreciate the quality of our product and the differentiated and recyclable packaging, as well as sustainable brand positioning. Organic cannabis currently sells at a price premium of 50 to 60%. We launched our brand and our initial strain, Organic Unite, at a 30-cent premium, which we believe is a sustainable price premium for the mass craft brand we're building. That being said, we do expect price compression as the market develops and cannabis becomes more commoditized. I believe TGOD is best positioned given our differentiated premium organic products, which will continue to command a premium price. You see the same in many other consumer categories such as Grey Goose Vodka, which has large-scale distribution despite the significant price premium in a largely commoditized vodka category, or Whole Foods carving out a growing premium niche in a very competitive grocery retail environment. That said, we've designed our plan to be a low-cost producer despite being organic, so we can withstand a 10 to 20% annual price decrease and still be financially attractive. Another factor hampering the growth of Canadian licensed producers is the limited opportunity for international distribution as countries take longer than initially anticipated to legalize cannabis or make it more medically accessible. It remains a global opportunity, and Canada can play a leadership role given our first mover advantage, but the pace is much slower than many had anticipated. Our team has been nimble with international expansion plans, focusing on capital-light joint ventures in order to minimize capital requirements. This is proving to be a wise strategy, and I'll discuss this in more detail later. The trend has changed rather quickly, and this is all much different than what we had expected in our call in August. As we continue to face challenges which are affecting everyone in the sector, we've taken decisive actions to mitigate risk and position TGOT for success. Today, I'm going to outline the steps we have taken to right-size our business while maintaining our path to near-term profitability. First, we adopted a new construction and operating plan to reduce our capital requirements. Secondly, we are aggressively managing costs in this challenging business environment by scaling back our SG&A by $3 million a quarter starting in Q1 2020, with primary focus on Canadian operational readiness and production, sales, and Cannabis 2.0. We've right-sized our near-term production to capture the organic segment while avoiding excess capacity. This includes demarcating Valleyfield into smaller phases. Fourth, we're maintaining the optionality to quickly accelerate and expand production as the market develops. Fifth, we have delayed or scaled back some of our international projects in order to focus on the Canadian recreational market and our European subsidiary, Hemp Poland. And finally, we've raised new capital, which we'll get to in a moment. These actions are consistent with our strategy to remain disciplined on capital deployment and continue to focus on areas that will quickly generate operational cash flow, which is really Canadian recreational market and Hemp Poland. In terms of revenue, we generated $2,612,000 this past quarter, a reduction of 10% compared to the second quarter. I want to add some more color on this number as it doesn't tell the full story. As I mentioned earlier, TGOT is largely still pre-revenue. In Canada, our small pilot with the OCS generated $600,000 in revenue. Most of our revenue came from Europe, where we sell CBD products through our wholly owned subsidiary, Hemp Poland. We made the strategic decision to focus on higher margin Canada Gold brand and private label sales as we continue adding new distribution points and decided to reduce reliance on less profitable bulk sales. This led to an initial revenue reduction of $800,000, while our gross margin improved from 69% to 80% in Hemp Poland. We anticipate that this shift in strategy is going to positively influence Hemp Poland revenue and profitability going forward. We've recently appointed a sales director for the UK and expect to start selling Canada Gold products in the UK this quarter. We also appointed a managing director for Europe based in Germany who's going to work with the Hemp Poland team on entering new markets across Europe. Before I turn it over to Sean for a review of our financials, I'd like to add how proud I am of our employees around the world who continue to execute our strategy while also aggressively managing costs in this challenging environment. Over to you, Sean.
Thanks, Brian. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to provide a few updates on our financial performance. We ended the quarter with $63 million in cash and restricted cash to continue funding the construction of our sites and working capital. This $63 million in cash, together with additional funding sources, which we'll discuss in a moment, will be used until we have positive operating cash flow, which is expected by the end of Q2 2020. During the quarter, we registered a net loss of $20 million, of which $4.3 million is related to non-cash items, such as stock-based compensation, depreciation, and amortization. We continue executing our plans to commence commercial production and enter the recreational market. The net loss increased by $3.7 million compared to the previous quarter, which was in line with our plan, as the management teams maintained a disciplined approach to operational costs related to the commercialization of our products in Canada. We have continued to be very focused on where we spend our SG&A, focusing on the higher value-added parts of the value chain and finding good partners for the rest. As we scale commercial production distribution, revenue and cash flow are expected to increase rapidly in 2020. In line with TGOD's strong governance, transparency, and accountability, We disclosed on October the 9th that we were reviewing alternative financial options, and on October 18th unveiled our new strategic plan, which Brian mentioned earlier. We made these announcements because we take our disclosure requirements very seriously and wanted to be as transparent as possible with our shareholders. With this, yesterday, we announced that we signed arrangements for up to $103 million in funding. Despite the headwinds affecting the cannabis sector, we've been able to raise some capital, the majority of it being non-dilutive, which is a clear show of confidence from our financial partners. This financing package consists of three elements: a definitive agreement for a sale leaseback of the Ancaster Energy Center, a construction mortgage loan term sheet, and a convertible to equity note term sheet. The first is we executed the definitive sale and leaseback agreement for the Ancaster Energy Center, our cogen facility, for proceeds of $23 million. The sale leaseback carries a term of 10 years, after which TGOD is able to repurchase the energy center for a dollar, and it is non-dilutive. We also signed a term sheet with an investment fund for up to $40 million construction mortgage loan secured on the facilities at Ancaster and Valleyfield. The terms include $15 million payable on closing, with a $25 million additional advance available upon achieving certain operational milestones, which are expected later in 2020. The loan carries a 12% interest rate, an initial term of 2 years with the ability to extend further, and again, is non-dilutive. Thirdly, we entered into a term sheet with an investment fund for $30 million, approximately 40 million Canadian, a convertible note, which has a 5% coupon, convertible into common shares of TGOD. Under the terms, TGOD would receive $10 million upon closing, with $20 million immediately placed into escrow. This escrow funds would be released as the note is converted into common shares over time. Closing of the two non-binding term sheets is subject to various conditions, including entering into legally binding documentation, completing the satisfactory due diligence, and the receipt of required regulatory approvals, which we expect to close these transactions in December. I also want to point out that the convertible equity note is purely Canadian market offering. At this time, due to the market conditions and eligibility criteria, we've decided to reconsider our NASDAQ application for a later date once the market conditions improve. We intend to use the proceeds from financing to continue our rapid yet disciplined expansion with a focus on near-term profitability. The capital being raised is going to be used towards four things. Firstly, completing construction of the processing facility at Ancaster. Secondly, completing construction of six zones in the Valleyfield hybrid greenhouse and enclosing the balance of the facility with the ability to quickly expand production as the market develops in the future. Thirdly, we're going to be providing adequate cash for working capital needs to bridge us until the company expects to generate positive operational cash flow, again, by Q2 of 2020. Finally, this capital helps us achieve the national distribution of TGOD products in early 2020, with the production coming on from our Ancaster facility in Valleyfield. There's still heavy lifting to be done, but our execution remains strong throughout the organization. Despite the exceptionally challenging environment, we are well positioned for long-term attractive earnings growth and sustainable value creation for our shareholders. And with that, I'll hand back to Brian.
Thank you, Sean. In conclusion, I'd like to discuss our product portfolio for Cannabis 2.0. We have put together a solid team with hundreds of years of combined CPG, medical, and beverage experience to develop a full suite of cannabis and hemp-infused products. These value-added products will begin to be launched at the end of December. The first wave of products we will be launching includes three categories: infusers, teas, and vapes. We are really excited about all three. First, the TGOD infusers are a tasteless, odorless, dissolvable powder available in three unique cannabinoid blends that can be mixed with your favorite drinks or food. The TGOD infusers are backed by a preliminary pharmacokinetic study that compared our proprietary patent-pending water-soluble cannabinoid technology, Caliber CBD, with CBD and carrier oil. We observed a total bioavailability of our water-soluble CBD that was 4.5 times greater than the same CBD in a carrier oil. We also measured a higher cannabinoid absorption or bioavailability within 15 minutes compared to the maximum absorption of the CBD in oil, which took 45. Really is a superior product to how most of the cannabinoids are being consumed today. We believe that being able to make product claims backed by scientific research is a true differentiator and intend to undertake additional studies in the next couple months. For the second category, teas, we're launching three different taste profiles, also leveraging the fast-acting ingredient technology used in Teagod infusers. The first variant is Happy Hibiscus Mate, which is formulated to energize and enhance focus and contains 2.5 milligrams of THC per dose and 5 milligrams of CBD. The second flavor is a green Zen Green Sencha, which is formulated to relieve stress and promote relaxation. It contains 1 milligram of THC per dose and 10 milligrams of CBD. And the third one is a restful chamomile, which is formulated to promote restful sleep. It contains 2.5 milligrams of THC per dose and 5 milligrams of CBD. The third category, our Teagod vapes, sets us apart by being 100% certified organic. There's been a lot of noise surrounding the category recently, as well as some misinformation. The Teagod vaping products are formulated solely with natural ingredients derived from our organic cannabis plants, allowing terpenes to infuse flavors. There's no synthetic inputs or cutting agents, such as vitamin E acetate, polyethylene glycol, or vegetable glycerin that are added. In terms of hardware, we selected Green Tank, a reputable Canadian manufacturer specializing in premium cannabis vaporizers. Their products are carefully designed specifically for cannabis vaporization and meet the current highest standards for vaping hardware implemented by the state of California. Teagod vapes will initially be offered in three different profiles: Unite Organic, a high THC indica dominant hybrid strain; Harmony Organic, a 1-to-1 CBD THC hybrid strain; and Care Organic, a high CBD, no THC sativa strain. We believe vapes are going to be an important category for the Canadian market and are committed to delivering products that meet the highest safety and quality standards. This commitment, combined with the widespread news coverage around the risk associated with purchasing unregulated products on the illicit market, should contribute to accelerating conversion to the legal market. These three categories, however, only represent the first wave of our added value products, with many more to be launched in 2020. We've got a lot of the formulation work done and are currently working with co-packers to get them to market. To wrap up, we continue making good progress and remain focused on delivering our operational plan. We're taking actions on what we can control to offset the impact of this dynamic environment. I'm confident that we will see accelerated revenue growth as we scale our production up, concurrent with the retail store expansion each quarter in 2020, and continue to develop high-quality, innovative products with our unique organic positioning. Operator, this time you can open the line up for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Should you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a three-tone prompt acknowledging your request. Should you wish to decline from the polling process, please press star followed by two. If you're on a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. One moment for your first question. Your first question comes from Brent Hundley from Seaport Global. Please go ahead, Brent.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning,
Sean, I just have a real quick modeling question for you. So on the potential SG&A reduction, is this just a one-time anticipated drop in Q1 20 and then, you know, relative flatline from there, or is there any sequential declines thereafter potentially?
We've built in it to be a continual $3 million targeted reduction in the SG&A. So if we're looking at compared to where we are this this quarter, that will continue on at that level, $3 million lower, continuous quarters through 2020.
Okay, so just to be clear, like Q1 would drop by $3 million and then Q2 would drop by another $3
million?
No. Q1 is the one drop.
Yeah.
Versus our current run rate, we're taking out $3 million a cost a quarter.
Yep, that makes
stay down at that level.
That makes sense. All right, thank you. And then To the extent that you can, because I think this is important next year funding, I mean, what specific assumptions underlie your positive EBITDA target out towards the end of Q2? I think the Street could use any transparency that you can give us.
Yeah, so we've incorporated not only all those SG&A reductions, but producing around 5,000 kilos of and selling 5,000 kilos of production in the quarter is kind of the break-even point for us. At a price point in terms of similar to what we're getting just now, but we actually did a reduction, expected some kind of price compression in 2020 of approximately 20% later in the year. By the end of later in the year, but maybe 10% by Q2 from where we are today.
In terms of market, we're assuming that the number of stores grows from where we are now to about 1,000 over the balance of 2020 across Canada.
2,000 stores by the end of 2020?
Not 2,000, 8,000.
Or excuse me, 1,000 by the end of 2020.
Yes. That's our base case. I mean, we've modeled some upsides and downsides, how to manage versus that, but that's our base case.
Okay, great. And then just one last question for me, more of a higher level question is to the store growth point. I mean, it's definitely been relatively limited to date, and you guys also mentioned that in your mid-October release as a factor contributing to the moderated production expectations at Valleyfield. But do you think that anything else has changed insofar as the ability of your products or organic product overall to take share away from conventional product? I mean, there's demand of about, well, not demand, but there's sell-through of about 1 million kgs out there today, annualized sell-through. And so do you think that anything has changed with regards to organic to compete in the marketplace? Thank you.
Well, right now, I mean, the organic segment is severely underserved. You've only got a couple certified organic producers that are craft producers and very little volume. So, I mean, the potential of organic is largely untapped. Now, organic is an important differentiator. I mean, we've done a lot of work with consumers, been talking with consumers across the country, across different product forms. We clearly know organic resonates with consumers and they're willing to pay a premium for it, or a large number of consumers are willing to pay a premium for it. In terms of the, so far it's a matter of our volume coming online to be able to convert that, but just given all of the news, especially if you look at vaping, I think we're best positioned. If people are looking for safer products, having organic that's never seen any pesticides or synthetic chemical fertilizers, it really works well with many consumers who are looking for that cleaner, healthier product and cleaner, healthier lifestyles. I mean, organic is an important differentiator, and even beyond that, I think even more so is the quality, right? So if you look at the feedback on our Organic Unite strain, and that's why we did a pilot. We didn't have a lot of volume to sell. But we did our pilot especially to get feedback, and we're very happy with the feedback we've been getting from consumers and from bud tenders as well. And if you go online and look at feedback on different sites, it's been very positive. And we also launched at a 30% premium versus where the other players are at kind of 50 to 60, because we are looking at ourselves as being more of a mass craft brand than a craft brand.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Chris Carey from Bank of America. Please go ahead, Chris.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Chris.
I just want to test the confidence level around the Q220, operating cash flow by quarter end. And maybe I'm just trying to get a sense of, it sounds like, the financing of, that you've announced, you have some immediately available, but a lot is also contingent on some things. And so I just wonder if you can kind of put it all together and frame the risk of getting the financing and how much is dependent on you kind of delivering on the things that you've kind of said that you can do over the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, certainly. The milestones in terms of achievement on some of the tranches there are related to actually getting the production and that cash flow profitability. So the majority of it actually comes in the middle to Q3 of next year. The funding that we're getting up front on closing in December, which is expected to close in December, is sufficient to get us through the period to the second quarter in terms of being able to do that. Then we start to generate, as I said, positive operating cash flow.
Got it. So the funding at the outset is really meant to get your working capital needs settled and ensure that you can get some product into the market to start, generating said cash flow. And once that starts to occur, then the kicker is coming on the back end of that.
That's correct. Almost three quarters actually of that funding package will come in before Q2.
Okay, understood. And then on just we've seen some of the the products and the brands and the packaging, but the other element of this is provincial willingness to order, or certainly right now they're depleting inventories, and you will get more stores, but we're not quite there yet. So, I suppose how would you frame the risk that, your product sell-in won't be as big out of the gate, or are your conversations with the provinces, or are they kind of, really excited about getting these products, or,
we've spoken with all of the provinces. And I'd say generally they're very excited. They can't wait to have our product and have kind of organic at scale. There's one province we're still working on that is focused on very low price, overarching, and we're still working on a solution there, which could be a different type of product for that province to get our foot in with our normal kind of TGOD brand on top of that. But in terms of our TGOD organic product, we presented it both our base core cannabis portfolio as well as our 2.0 portfolio, and all the provinces are very excited to be able to start selling it. They're just waiting for our production to be online at scale to be able to do so. So we'll have we've got the first harvest coming out of our Hamilton hybrid greenhouse in December. By the time we process it, we expect to start to be able to sell that in January, and our plan will be to be national in the first quarter.
And apologies if I missed this, right? But obviously you've had, a target on what the ramp up would be from selling into the market, and some of the cash flow targets were predicated on that ramp. So on the Q220, and again, sorry if you said this and I missed it, but do you have we need to sell this amount to be operating cash flow positive, and clearly pricing has been pressured. So do you still think that you're going to be able to get the same level of pricing? You can see kind of what I'm trying to do here. It's just maybe test some of these assumptions. So just in general, what do you need to deliver to kind of hit these targets on a volume and pricing standpoint?
Yeah, as we said in Q2, we're looking at 4,500 to 5,000 kilos is the point break even point for sales in a quarter, which we're fully expecting on production ramp with Valley Field coming on the grow room there by Q2. Reaching that 4,500 to 5,000 kilos level of sales. The pricing, as I said, currently we're receiving $8.42 a gram, but we're looking at about incorporated about a 10% price reduction in Q2, and then later in the year probably another 10% price compression.
Okay, all right. Thanks so much. I'll pass it on.
Thank you. The next question is from Ryan Tompkins from Jefferies. Please go ahead, Ryan.
Thank you. Yeah. Hi, Brian. Hi, Sean. Just firstly, just a housekeeping one. Can I ask about the quite significant growth in payables this quarter, which obviously helped out on cash? Can we get any sense of maybe when they're due, how you're going to be able to pay them, whether that's something we should worry about or whether that might increase in coming quarters?
This is actually probably a high point of our accounts payable Q3, as we've really incurred a lot of capital expenditure this quarter to finalize the ANCAP, pretty much done, as well as the Valleyfield greenhouse being virtually complete. The majority of that accounts payable is actually going to be funded out of the restricted cash, which is the construction escrow account money. And so as it stands just now, we have approximately $10 million to go on Ancaster, and $5 million or so to go on Valleyfield that isn't covered by the escrow. So that is the reason, in terms of doing this funding, getting closed in December, and looking to the vendors to be fully paid up and everything by the closing of those the mortgage and the cogen sale and the first tranche of the convertible note money. They'll completely cover that and provide additional work. So this is just a high point on the payable.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you. And then the second question, maybe a bit higher level. Obviously, you guys aren't in many stores, if any at all, right now. So there's a big upside to have there.
Oh, actually, we're in all the Ontario stores.
We're in all the Ontario stores, isn't it?
It's all just the Ontario one SKU, which is our Organic Unite flower. It's a higher THC strain.
Okay.
I mean, we only did the Ontario pilot, given the limited volume we had. But, I mean, as we have more production scaling up, that's what will allow us to go into the other provinces. But we are in those stores in Ontario.
But then, okay, so my point is there's 24 stores out of several hundred and hopefully more by the time we get into the second quarter. So there's obviously a lot of headroom there to move on to a number of shelves. But then the worry or the balance of that is that these retail stores are going to have full shelves already from the increasing supply we're getting elsewhere, as well as the rollout of derivative products. They've got even less shelf space. So is there anything you can do, anything that you have done to talk or educate the retailers with regards to your product and why they should be making
room?
We've
actually got a very robust kind of education program around organic for retail store owners and for bud tenders, explaining the differences, explaining the product quality and features and the kind of the taste profile and the different terpenes. The feedback we've gotten is very positive. And if you look at those 24 stores, we came later than everybody else in Ontario, and we got listed everywhere. So we're not concerned based on all the discussions we've had with the provinces and with different stores. Recall, we have sales agent across Canada is Velvet Management, a subsidiary of Philippe Dandurand, the largest wine distributor in Canada. Incredible capabilities, incredible relationships across all the provinces. They've been really on the front line with different retailers, not just in Ontario, but across the other provinces. And they're raring to go. Just can't wait for our production to be there.
Okay, great. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from Tammy Chan from BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I just had a quick house. I guess it's a housekeeping item. Just first on the convertible equity note term sheet that you've got. Maybe it was somewhere and I missed it, but I just want to double check. Did you provide what the because 20 million will come off as the 10 million is converted over time? Did you provide what the conversion rate or the strike price would be for that?
We didn't. There's going to be a normal kind of market rates on a discount from VWAP. The terms still have to be obviously approved through the regulator, and we'll be disclosing that at the time of the filing of prospectus.
Okay, thanks. And I just have another clarification question on the construction mortgage loan term sheet. So you get the $15 million upfront, and the $25 million is available upon certain milestones. which you said in the press release are expected later in 2020. So is that in the latter half of 2020? I just wanted to understand you won't be able to reach that until past Q2. Is that how it works?
That is how it works, yeah. So we're still expecting to have about 72, 74 million of the funding available by Q2, with the 25 million being the big tranche that would be later in the year out of it.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up from Chris Carey of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the follow-up. I'll keep this short. I suppose big picture, what's the plan with Valley Field? You know, obviously, you know, an impressive facility, and we've seen it, but, you know, it does need quite a bit of work to finish. Did that just get idled, you know, for all of 2020 until you kind of cash flow rolling? Just how to think about it in general.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, and you've seen it, right? So the greenhouse, the larger hybrid greenhouse is complete. Parts of the processing building, like the whole the center for irrigation, is done. The second floor greenhouse is being enclosed. I mean, the roof's up, the sides. What we're doing is, I mean, we're fully enclosing everything so we can heat it to above freezing, make sure we protect it from the snow, to be able to melt the snow on the roof. The first two rooms we applied for our Health Canada license amendment over a couple months ago. We're expecting to get that in the next couple weeks. As soon as we get that, we'll apply for the license amendment for the whole of the greenhouse. Okay, now our plan is to use kind of six rooms out of that. In 2020, we'll be using four of them for growing, one of them for mothers, and one of them for drying. After it's dried, we'll ship the product to Ancaster, where we do have the processing capacity to manage the four rooms of grow coming out of there. And that'll give us then capacity, I mean, of about 27 to 30,000 kilos a year. But with the ramp up, we're expecting kind of 2022 in 2020. Now, we'll watch how the market develops. Ontario has talked about opening up and unrestricting the number of stores based on market demand. Don't know how long it'll take to get their act together to be able to fully release it. I don't think it's going to be in the next couple of quarters. I think it'll take more time than that. But if it really is opened up like in Alberta or what Saskatchewan's plans to do, it's possible you could have 1,000 stores in Ontario by the end of next year. If that's the case, what we would do is we would bring on additional rooms in Valleyfield as they're needed beyond the original six. So that whole facility will be licensed, all the whole hybrid greenhouse. At some point, we would need to make the investment in the Valleyfield processing facility for capacity, but our expectation is in Ancaster, as we commission the processing facility that's still being completed right now, that we'll be able to drive more and more efficiencies out of there, and we'll see what our maximum processing capacity is. For sure, we can manage the six rooms in Valleyfield to start, but potentially even more. So our plan really is to be agile and nimble and only invest the additional capital, as the market needs it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thanks so much. I'll pass it on and we'll be in touch.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. Your next question is a follow-up from Brett Hundley from Seaport Global. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my follow-up as well. I just wanted to go back to the funding announcement because I think a lot of us are focused on, all right, you're gaining access to a certain portion. There's another portion that will come maybe later in calendar 2020. And, you know, you're going to have that midpoint in late Q2 where hopefully you reach profitability on the EBITDA line. I guess my question is, you know, if you do reach profitability but those ongoing levels are maybe smaller than anticipated in bridging you to additional funding later in the year, should we be thinking that, you know, potentially getting to EBITDA profitability by the end of Q2 could also open up additional forms of traditional financing, you know, be that credit. Is that something we should be thinking of as well?
I think absolutely. We actually had an offer of a traditional lending facility that was conditional upon us having achieved a full quarter in revenue, which, you know, was going to be the case by the end of March. So that's why we actually ended having that announcement on October the 9th and having to look at this kind of bridge financing. So having achieved that and going forward and getting that done, absolutely the more traditional forms of financing and lending will be available to us by the end of Q2. Both lending, but also potentially on normal operating facilities, because we will have the revenue from the provinces, which is solid quality collateral for receivables lines.
And it's possible to get out of the mortgage loan that we're doing now if we have lower cost financing, or when we have lower cost financing.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. The next question is from Tammy Chan from BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead, Tammy.
Thanks. Sorry, I just had one follow-up. On your expectation to sell about 4,500 to 5,000 kilograms in Q2, can you help us just understand the picture at the Ancaster greenhouse? I think last when we talked in, I think it was September, hadn't been planted yet. I assume it's been planted now because you're expecting first harvest in December. But can you just help us understand, because it is going from quite a low cell volume right now to a substantial amount by Q2. So is the Ancaster greenhouse, have you fully planted it? Can you just help us understand just how the production output is going to step up over the next couple quarters to Q2? Thanks.
Yeah, we're ramping up the Ancaster hybrid greenhouse and going room by room. So I think we've got, like, there's activity in more than half of the rooms now. The thing is, you can't plant it all at once because you need to time it around operational harvest and just overall kind of production. So our key challenge right now is we're still doing all of the processing manually in the original facility. We need the processing building to be online to move to automated processing and packing and drying with the N-Wave dryer, all the rest of that. So right now we're targeting kind of a room every 2 to 3 weeks. Once we get into the end of this year, we do expect all of the rooms to be in flower mode. We're going into next year. We'll have our processing facility licensed in Q1. Once we get the processing facility licensed, we expect to be on an 8-week cycle. So every room is we're moving in the plants from our 20,000-square-foot indoor facility, which have already been through the veg state, moves into the greenhouse. It's only flowering in the greenhouse, which depending on the strain is kind of 6 to 10 weeks, say 8 on average. And then we're doing a harvest every week. One of those rooms gets harvested and gets processed in the facility. So our key constraint right now is processing capacity. But as that processing facility is licensed, then we don't have that restriction anymore. Right now we're doing it all very manually, and that's why the smaller volume until we get to Q1.
And you're looking at 5,800 plants per room in Ancaster, and then the Valleyfield rooms come on at closer to 13,000 plants per room for four rooms in Valleyfield. And for Q2, the first of those rooms will be coming on as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And your last question is from Vito Sufano from TD Wealth. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just I'm at a loss here. This is all based on continuing to sell more, and you stated that the problem in selling is that there's not enough stores, and you're basing it on that in Ontario we're going to go from 24 to 1,000 stores. What happens if
We're assuming 1,000 across Canada.
Okay, but right now you're only selling to Ontario, right, because of your production?
Yes.
Right? You're not selling anything to BC, you're not selling anything to Alberta, which those are the other two provinces that you have signed agreements with, right, Brian?
That's correct, because we only had limited production and we didn't want to spread ourselves too thin. But, I mean, we expect to be national in Q1.
So by March of 2020, you'll be selling to every province in Canada except for, let's say, Quebec?
That'll be before March even. Probably even by January, we'll be selling to all provinces except for one. And then by March, we hope to be in that one too.
Okay. So with the cash that you have left on hand and how much you're losing per month, how are you going to make it to the second quarter of next year? That's where I don't get the numbers.
So that is the funding. Remember, there's only, as I mentioned earlier, there's only about a total of about $15 million left in capital. So the funding that's being raised is being used for the working capital, the SG&A, and also the inventory build. As we mentioned, October 9th, we needed about $70 to $80 million. We'll have that portion in the three arrangements we've arranged just now to get us to Q2 2020, with an additional $30 million kind of coming in later in 2020 as well.
Okay, and just a quick question from what I see here on that additional funding you got. You were only able to secure $15 million on putting up those two buildings up as collateral? Is that what I
mean? $15 million is Ancaster, and the $25 million is on Valleyfield in the completion.
Yeah, but so the 25 is going to be later on if you get to certain operational milestones, I guess. If you start producing anything out of Valleyfield, they'll give you the other $25 million. So right now all you're getting is $15 million from Ancaster. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Okay. I wish I could say that I come away from this conference call warm and fuzzy, but honestly, guys, I don't. And I think everybody needs to see some more proof in the pudding before things get any better.
Yeah,
the stock price isn't.
We're focused 100% on executing this plan.
Okay. Well, let's hope.
I mean, we are coming to the market a bit later than others, but frankly, just given the market dynamics and the lack of stores, we really haven't missed much. So I think our timing is going to coincide with those additional stores, and we'll prove out that high-quality organic can sell at a premium.
But Brian, I've spoken to you about this before. My concern is that at the rate that we're not cutting expenses enough, by the time hopefully that the demand does come online, you're not going to be there. We got to keep the lights on. How are you going to do that if we're burning $6.6 million a month?
Well, we're not. As we said, we've gone through part of our strategic plan, and reorg is cutting $3 million a quarter from our burn rate. So we're looking at an SG&A in Canada of under $10 million for Q1, which is a significant drop from where we are just now. And that's part of getting ourselves lean and being nimble and agile and being appropriately right-sized for the level of production we've got scheduled coming on nationally in the first quarter of 2020.
Okay. All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Dale.
Thanks.
Thank you. There are no further questions. You may proceed with closing comments.
Okay, thank you everyone for joining. If you have any further questions, just reach out to us directly. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for participating and ask that you please disconnect your lines.